So I think that's important to think about, is so much of what we do is what we bring to the table. And I think that's really the perfect segue to introducing my good friend Kay, who will be telling us about preparing for an interview. I think you're going to find it so interesting. We had such a great conversation. There are so many tips here for your teen, and they're great tips for adults too. If you ever happen to be in the market again looking for another job, well, there's a lot to be learned here. And that can be a kind of cool conversation for you to have with your teen also, to actually gain something from this conversation and be able to talk about it at a slightly different level. So let's listen up to Kay. She's got some great ideas. Now we'll talk about them afterwards.
Well, Kay, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, you're very welcome, Jill. It's great to be with you.
Terrific. Would you tell us briefly, set the stage for us, about your expertise with interviewing skills?
Well, I work with professionals, ambitious professionals, who are keen to raise their profile, their visibility in the workplace. A lot of people get overlooked and feel that they're stuck. And so I work with clients either in groups or on a one-to-one basis, to raise their visibility and get them prepared for promotion and position them for promotion, Jill. That's the powerful piece, rather than kind of banging on the door all the time. Positioning their skills for promotion. And one of the big pieces, obviously, of preparing for a promotion is how you interview and how you prepare yourself for an interview. And I encourage clients to think about an interview as a conversation, because an interview is just the word, and everyone, you know, the hair goes up on the back of their neck, and
yes,
they start to blink a lot when they hear the word interview. But actually, if we think about it as a powerful conversation, exchange of information, it's actually a more powerful way of thinking about it. So I prepare business people for that. And what was so exciting to be invited to chat with you today and your listeners is that one of the things I do on a voluntary basis, where I take this experience, is I take it into schools as I'm part of a business panel, local business panel, where we go into schools and perform mock interviews for teenagers who are either going to leave and go to college or go to the sixth form of the schools. And a lot of the time, as you can imagine, Jill, they've never been interviewed.
Of course.
And they, of course, have the blinking eyes and the sort of hair on the back of their neck stand up at the thought of an interview. So it's great to be with you to share some of that with you today.
And it's so interesting to me, and I love the fact that you talk about an interview being a conversation, because I talk about it that way also to sort of lessen the anxiety, because teens do feel so anxious, unprepared, and so that's why I came to you to talk about what they can do, what steps they can take, what tools they might use, and what tips you have for them.
Oh, well, that's exciting. I mean, it is. It's like so many things. How we think about something completely prepares us or unsettles us. And one of the first messages, if you're listening to this as a teen, and certainly if you're listening to this as a parent of a teen, is that it's that word. And certainly, you know, people who have had 20 or 30 years experience in their business still get, you know, jittered by the word interview.
Yes.
So be reassured that firstly, you're not alone, and secondly, it still, you know, takes a struggle to get yourself prepared for an interview sometimes when you're much older and, you know, with loads of experience. So that's the first thing to know. One of the interesting things, actually, we were talking a little bit before we came on the call, is that last year I was invited into a business to help six professionals who'd all been in their positions. They were all sort of middle to senior managers who were going for directorships, and they were all going to be interviewed for their positions. They all had to reapply for their positions. You know how when businesses reorganize,
of course,
reassure the management that you're the right person, even if you've been in the company, you know, for years. And they were, a couple of them were so anxious, really, you know, to the extent of, you know, I don't think I can do this, because they hadn't actually been interviewed for more than 20 years. You know, they got a job, worked their way up. So I think, again, that is a really powerful thing to know, that it isn't purely a teenage angst. It's a very much a grown-up angst as well. And what is so exciting to share is that as a result of really preparing them for their interviews and actually breaking down what the interview was going to be about, thinking about their skills, thinking mm-hmm. about how to say certain things. All six of them have successfully been appointed in the jobs they wanted, and all six of them were effectively promoted. So I'm very proud of them all, and I want to share that with you just because it's like, well, this stuff works.
It absolutely does, and I think you're so right when you talk about reassuring whoever you're talking to that you're the right person. And actually, I'm gonna take a little spin on that, because to me, in selecting a college and thinking about teens looking at colleges and families considering colleges, part of it is also for the teenager to, and I'm sure you're going to get to this, but the teenager should come in with questions so that the teen can find out if the college is really a good fit, so that the teenager becomes more of the driver in the process than feeling at the mercy of, oh my gosh, will I ever be accepted? So I think your point is so well taken about it being an exchange of information so people truly understand and are reassured about what is being discussed.
Absolutely. I mean, that's very powerful there, Jill, the idea of it being an exchange of information. It's not all about being, you know, literally like being in the firing line, as I said to you, you know, when people start blinking rapidly and the hairs on the back of their neck, it's because there's this feeling of, you know, this fear of being found out, fear of failure, fear of being stuck for words completely.
Mm.
And thinking about it, just as you said there, okay, well, what do I want to find out? What do I want the college to reassure me about?
Mm-hmm.
About my prospects whilst I'm here. What are the pass rates here? And one of the things that we're, as part of this business partnership, we're encouraged to help the teenagers do is we say to them, and they're obviously unprepared for this, and then this is where their learning comes in, we ask them to step outside after the interview, because it's a mock interview, so again, it's very much for them to go through this once, feel comfortable, and then when they have the real thing, they feel much more at ease and prepared. And this actually is the same with when I did the six interviews recently. Each person I asked this question, and each of them looked a bit blank. And the question is, so what questions do you have for us? Because it's, again, like you say, Jill, this whole, oh, well, my goodness, I've got to be ready for all their questions. Well, actually, have some questions ready of your own.
Yes.
And one of the things that is, we ask the students to step outside and think of three questions they want to ask us. And, you know, with the greatest respect, some of them come in and have said, you know, what time is the bus? Or how much free time will I have? Now, obviously, we recommend that anything you can find out quietly, either on the internet or looking on the bus timetable or looking at the, you don't ask those sort of questions. You
ask
questions about treating it like a bit of a business. It's like, well, you know, what's your pass rate? How mm-hmm. do students complete the whole year versus, you know, what's the fallout rate as well? Because a college, as I know you know, Jill, is a business.
Absolutely.
Businesses have to attract clients.
Yes, and I have to say, at least in the U.S., Kay, I can't speak for England, but at least in the U.S., that's not how people think about college for the most part, unless they're talking about the cost of college. They think primarily in terms of, oh, my gosh, you know, I may not get in. And they don't see themselves as consumers of an actual service, which is what colleges are. And that's not to cast them in any negative light, but it's the reality of it. And so we need to go in, if we're looking at colleges, as people with serious questions, as you're suggesting. And we need to do our homework and our research in advance. And one of the things I know when I prepare students in my coaching practice, when I prepare them for interviews, I ask them to develop some questions that they will ask all colleges, two or three questions, so they're comparing apples to apples, so to speak. So they're hearing answers to the same questions and then very specific questions, because they've done their research, very specific questions about the college that they're interviewing for on that day, in that moment. So the college will also know, the admissions personnel will know that the student has done his or her homework.
Absolutely. And it's a very... It redresses, if you think, the word that came up to me that, Jill, as you were saying that, and this is, you know, something that anyone's listening to this, I really want to encourage you, is it redresses the balance. It puts some balance into the conversation you're having versus it all be about you as the person being interviewed being kind of fired at questions and having to sort of bash them back over the net like a sort of tennis match.
Yes.
Instead of thinking about it like that, it's like, well, actually, I'm going to serve. I'm not just going to back them back over the net. I'm going to serve.
That's perfect. What a great visual. I can see it in my mind's eye.
Well, one of the things to follow on with that, Jill, because whilst we've kind of gone to the do you have any questions or what questions do you have for us, which is after the interview.
Yes.
One of the things we've always recommended is to say to all the students, be comfortable asking those questions. And how one of the ways to be comfortable asking those questions is to have them jotted on a nice note, you know, like a postcard note. And it gives you a moment to say, oh, yes, now I've got a couple of questions here. I've written them down to make sure I remembered them and I wanted to make sure that I get them straight. Because, you know, they will understand that you're maybe a little bit, there's a lot to think about.
Yes.
And so that, by getting those postcards, that little postcard out, maybe even, as you just said, they're taking a couple of notes. I'm taking some notes because I'm comparing. Of course, that puts up a little bit of, well, it certainly gives the impression that the student is organized, you know, comparing and contrasting and wants to actually, doesn't just take yes as being the only option.
Yes.
And also being confident enough to assume that it's okay to write down some questions.
Mm-hmm.
It sends a powerful message.
Definitely. And so what I hear you saying in part is that it's preparing yourself with the materials that you need, but it's also preparing the image that you create as you enter into this conversation.
Absolutely. And that's great because you just said that as you enter into this conversation versus as you go into an interview, which sounds like the whole firing line thing, as you prepare
yes.
yourself for this conversation, because it is a conversation.
Absolutely. And so are there some key steps or a path that you suggest for preparing for this you know, nervous-making event?
This potential. But also, this is the other thing, okay? It's like, if you could only be excited about this interview, this is a question. If anyone who's listening to this, any parent, if you could only be excited about this interview, what difference would it make? And we don't have to all know the answer, but everyone else who asks themselves that question will. If you can only be excited, if it can only be a good thing, because as I always say to people, when you go and pay money to go on a roller coaster, you pay to be scared and excited because you know you're going to be scared. That's what's so exciting. So why not choose that it's going to be a little scary and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, that's a great mindset.
Well, as we know, all of us, it's you know, the mind part, the mind piece is the struggle. Once you've got that straight, the rest flows, and off you go. So let's approach this a bit like going to a roller coaster. You pay good money to get scared, but really excited. So to prepare to be really, you know, to be excited at the potential of being part of a college, to have the choice maybe of which college it is, to be able to reassure yourself that you want to go there, because like you said, Jill, you want to be a fit.
Yes.
That's a great set of words. I'm sure you encourage people to use it. I do too. I want to check that, you know, I want to make sure that your college is a fit for me and that I'm a fit for your college versus the right one, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, some of the, I don't want to, because I know clearly with your own experience that you'll go through all sorts of, you know, tips and tools and little secrets to prepare. One of the most basic ones, and this is one that is always worth saying, because it was like the sun came out in front of a few students, and even with the directors that I helped for their interview, it's like the sun comes out when I said, you will, of course, take a photocopy before you start filling it in, so you have a complete photocopy, because if it's written, and a lot of things are written because they want to be able to see that you can write and how you write, you will take a photocopy of it first, and then you'll fill it out in draft, and then you'll show someone to make sure it's clear and make sure that what you've said comes across well, rather than assuming you can just do it on the fly. So you take a photocopy of the thing first and then fill it out in draft. Then, and this is the part that, again, it's like a lot of things. It's like, oh, my goodness, I hadn't thought of that. You take a photocopy of it once you've filled it in. Because certainly in the workplace, you can take a month, 6 weeks, 2 months before the interview comes up.
Yes.
And then you'll ask questions on that form that you haven't seen for a couple of months. And I've heard it so many times where people have said, they asked me about what I'd said about my experience at, you know, XYZ company, and I couldn't remember what I'd said. So, of course, you read it before, and you read it, you know, a couple of times before, and then have it with you, so that you can look and say, oh, yes, no, hang on a minute, let me just... It depends, again, how you want to come across, but coming across showing that you've got a copy with you, got your questions, you're prepared, you know, it shows that you're a bit savvy about these things.
Oh, I agree completely. One of the things, to your point, of one of the keys or tips that I give to students is to prepare a portfolio of their work, whether it's stellar essays that they've written, articles that have been written about them, newspaper copy about plays that they've been in, awards that they've received, and certificates, because I find it to be a tool that helps them talk about themselves more easily, and it's something tangible that they can walk in with, and it shows their preparation, which is very much to your point.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as you say there, Zilda, the tick boxes of, are you going to be able to do the work? Are you going to keep our pass rates up? Because, you know, look at your results and see how you are. Those boxes are ticked relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
The box that isn't so easy is, you know, what sort of person are you? How are you? Are you going to fit with the students we have, the sort of way we handle ourselves here, the values that we have at our college? And that's where the conversation comes in. And that's, again, that whole being prepared, coming in with some notes of your own. This is obviously aside from the physical, how we prepare ourselves, but the actual showing that you've done your homework, showing that, like you said, you've prepared and you've kept a copy and you've got it with you. And, oh, yes, of course, that piece about when I was part of the, you know, when I was captain of the football team. And you are able to steady yourself because you don't have that voice in your head saying, oh, my God, I can't remember what they said, what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to steady yourself. And then one of the big things in steadying yourself is repeating the question.
That's interesting.
By yourself, such precious time. Your brain processes far quicker than we think it does.
Uh-huh.
I like to say, we think faster than we think. And so when someone says to you, particularly in an interview, so tell me a bit more about when you were captain of the football team. Oh, yes, when I was captain of the football team. So you repeat it. It's quite a natural thing to do. But in your brain, you're able to think, which bit do I want to put first?
Mm.
You know, it's absolutely natural. And clearly after every single question, you don't necessarily do that. But you can hear that if you ask me a question, Jill, just any question.
And so, Kay, how long have you been in your line of work of helping people communicate even better?
Gosh, how long have I been in my line of work? Well, Jill, I mean, I know it's a little bit forced, but that's about 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could see in my head and hear, thinking 2002, I resigned from my corporate work. You know, I could hear and I have that time to work out the number. It's a really powerful strategy, and I encourage clients who are trying to, you know, raise their visibility and do the, you know, the ambitious professional part. That's one of the real strategies. Repeat a question. A, for clarity, because when the person who asks the question hears you ask the question again,
mm-hmm.
they sometimes say, oh, actually, well, what I really meant was blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy yourself these precious seconds to steady yourself and prepare your answer.
That's terrific. That's really great.
So, well, that's good, because that's something that helps all of us everywhere in our lives, on a PTA meeting, over dinner in the evening, repeating the question and thinking out aloud, making it a kind of conversational thinking out aloud moment, works on so many levels. And in an interview, it really helps.
Oh, I think you're so right, because I know that at least when I'm working, when I'm training, when I'm coaching, I'm really comfortable with silence. So I'm happy to pause for a little bit. And yet I know so many people are not at that point ever in their lives. They always want to fill up the space. And so you've just given them a tool to do that, that does the exact same thing as a pause, but doesn't feel as uncomfortable to most people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. So know that in that moment where you repeat the question, you're giving a natural pause, you're giving yourself a bit of breathing space, and it is quite a big piece, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, much more than you need, and it means you're not constantly batting things back over the net, you know?
Yes.
Using that tennis metaphor. that's a big piece. As far as, I mean, knowing what you know about how you prepare students, what specific question on the actual preparation part, this is the actual physical preparation of the form or getting there, would be useful to share? Because there's so much, Jill.
Yes, there certainly is so much. I think I talk with them about the research that they need to do. I think it might be, as you have done, sharing techniques with them that will continue the conversation, that will lower their anxiety, and I think that's exactly what you've been talking about, and maybe perhaps how to finish up the conversation and leave a great impression, because I think beginning and endings are so important.
Well, certainly one of the beginning part, and again, this is one of, I like the idea of certainly when, and I've done this in with executives as well as with the teams on the voluntary basis, I present myself quite smartly and I stand very straight and I have good posture. I know I have. I work on it and I'm quite tall, so it's part of one of the things, otherwise I'd be slouching. And I say to students who come in and flop down with their hair all over their face, what do I look like when I do that? And I have done it. I've messed my hair up, slid down the chair, leaned back, not looked at them. And, of course, they look quite shocked because when they realize what it looks like, they've even said to me, oh, my goodness, that's really surprising, or I don't know, what are you doing? It's one of the things that a lot of people struggle with, that those first few seconds.
Yes.
And knowing that something physical happens when you smile. You don't have to sit there smiling like, you're stuck. But knowing that your brain releases this happy drug, they call it, or the happy hormone, serotonin, when you smile. And your brain can't tell whether you're smiling because you really mean it or because you're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually encourage yourself consciously to smile a bit will relax you. It's a chemical thing that happens. One of the strategies, and this is a bit of a secret that is, again, something that you would never really know is happening, is if you take a pen and pop it between your teeth, and just do it now, it sounds strange, but put it between your teeth and hold it between your teeth. So I'm holding this pen between my teeth.
Me too.
Right. Well, it physically makes you smile a bit. You have to be able to hold it all in. And you can just do that for a few seconds. And obviously you're not speaking, because it's a little bit bizarre to do that and speak. But that is the equivalent of a smile. And it helps you feel relaxed, because, again, your brain can't tell that you're just holding a pen. It feels the muscles that are working to push your face into a smile and releases some serotonin. So that's another thing to just have in your back pocket to prepare yourself, because the smile says a lot, and it will also relax you.
That's
and
great.
Handshake. I know you know the handshake. The wet fish, or the kind of limp fish, as we call it.
Yes.
Very unattractive.
Definitely. It conveys so much about you, all the things that you're talking about, the posture, the way you dress, your eye contact, the smile, the handshake. It really is creating that image of yourself.
Absolutely. And this is the rub. This is where it's a kind of levels the playing field a bit more. You can be potential university professor material on paper. And if you're unable to connect with people, if you can't make people feel comfortable, they don't want to kind of be around you in the same way, you're always going to have a tougher time than the person who does make people feel at ease, who is more comfortable. They don't have to, what's on paper doesn't necessarily speak as loudly as what's in front of the interviewer, or who's in front of the interviewer is more accurate. So this is where I say to people, oh, but I haven't had all this experience, or I haven't had an interview for 20 years. It's like, okay, as long as you're able to convey the experience you do have, the skills you can bring, and, you know, how you are, that's going to be good enough. And if it's not, then it's not a fit.
Those are terrific ideas. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I do really, really, I can honestly say, Jill, if I had had the combination of the experience of doing the interviewing I've been, you know, with the partnership for teams myself, plus the experience of working with executives, preparing them for interviews and seeing them succeed in them, I know that if ever I was going to go through an interview again, I have so many things I would do that I didn't when I was interviewed last.
Of course.
And it just settles you, and it, as you've said, it shifts the balance in the power. It's a conversation versus a firing line.
Exactly. And so, Kay, you have given us so many great ideas. Is there a way for my listeners to learn even more from you?
It would be a thrill, and I know that certainly as many parents, as obviously the teens as well, will find what I've got for you really interesting. Actually, we were talking about it before, weren't we, as far as if anyone who wants to keep in touch and certainly find out a little bit more about me and also go and collect a gift for, I've got three gifts that I've put together, and they're absolutely spot on for the conversation that we're having today. So if you go to www.wayforwardsolutions, all one word, WayForwardSolutions, wayforwardsolutions.com/gift4you, GIFTFOROYOU, gift for you. And up will come a page with three gifts on it. And all you have to do is just pop your email address and name and email address at the bottom. But what is so perfect about these is these are used by business people, by business owners as part of their, if you like, power pack, because the first gift is a powerful list of 1,200 words and phrases. It's a special collection of over 1,200 powerful, influential, motivational words, and they're A to Z, so you can go down all the A's and all the B's and all the C's, and if you find that you're using the same word over and over, you can look for another one within. They're all motivational, and they're all energetic. They all have a good energy about them. I've been collecting these for years, and you can have them all in one hit when you go and collect your gift. So that's the power list. And the second, which is really perfect for our conversation today, and this is what a lot of my clients use, is the Maximize Your Meetings, the Savvy Communicators Meeting Planner. And Jill, what's great about this is it's actually a set of questions to, and I lay it out in a specific order, to help professionals prepare for meetings and presentations and running meetings, because it helps position what's going on, helps them prepare themselves and their actual material. And I know it will help to prepare for an interview.
Terrific.
People ask those questions. So I'm thrilled that those are just there and ready. And I send out an e-zine and newsletter every other week, and I always make sure that there's a powerful tip or takeaway to grab and use straight away as soon as you, you know, click off the email. So they will all come automatically for anyone who hops to that page.
That's terrific. Well, thank you so much. Those are wonderful gifts. I'm going to go collect them shortly. While I believe I'm already on your e-zine list, I would love to get these other tools because you have provided us with so much great information, and I know it will be more of the same.
You're so welcome.
Wow, what a great conversation. There was so much to think about. I have to say I was taking notes furiously as Kay was talking and I was responding to what she had to say. There were so many ideas going through my head. And so my key takeaways, I'm wondering if they match up with yours. Mine included how we think about something influences us. And where have we heard that before?